single day. Flowers and trees and birds and animals. There's so many games that we can play.
Outside for a better inside is Kelly Hunt right here on the Children's Hour. Our next guest is an avid backpacker and hiker and also a meteorologist. Carrie Jones has long been a favorite guest of ours on the Children's Hour. Welcome back, Carrie Jones.
Yes, thank you so much, Katie. It's always a pleasure.
Today, we're talking about camping with kids. And whenever I think of camping, I always think about the weather. So many things could happen when you're out in the wilderness. And I just was hoping that you could give our listeners some safety tips about recognizing when really inclement weather is coming or really bad weather is coming and folks need to take shelter. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of extreme weather people might see when they go camping?
Well, it's an excellent topic. I know with my own family, we spend a lot of time outdoors, a lot of time camping, a lot of time backpacking. And so when we talk about camping, I mean, obviously if you're car camping or you're at a kind of a situation or a campground where you can seek shelter inside a sturdy building or a vehicle, then that's obviously your number one choice and option. But when you're backpacking, as I do quite a bit, you know, you don't have that luxury. And so I think recognizing the sky and kind of the clues that the atmosphere gives us before inclement weather can hit, it's a big part of it. But even then, sometimes you just don't know, and you're often caught off guard. If you're in the situation where you cannot get to a sturdy shelter, and when I say sturdy, I mean four sides. You know, I'm not talking about a metal awning or a kind of a patio cover. When we talk about sturdy shelter, we're talking about four walls, and a lot of campgrounds do have that. Otherwise, yeah, head to the vehicle, get inside your car. And actually, it's not the tires. You know, that's a general myth, is that the four rubber tires protects you when you're inside your car or vehicle. That's just not the case. It's actually the structure of the vehicle, the frame, and so forth. So generally, Katie, you know, there really is no safe place in the outdoors during a thunderstorm. So if you hear distant rumbles of thunder, that's your first sign. That's the time to seek those shelter options, not to wait. If you can hear thunder, we generally say that you're within the striking distance of a thunderstorm. Lightning is often detected 10 to 15 miles away from where the rain is actually taking place. So you need not be getting wet during a thunderstorm to be in danger. And I think that's where people, unfortunately, especially in outdoor settings, get in trouble.
I heard about this thing called heat lightning. It was when you could see lightning really far away, flashing. We always said, oh, that's just caused by the heat. Is heat lightning really a thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, in fact, you might see, you know, areas in the West, and I mean, where I live, you know, you can see thunderstorms, you know, 50, 60, 70 miles away, sometimes even farther. And so I might see a very far distant flash of lightning, especially in the evening or when the sun has set. But I never hear the thunder. You know, thunder is just sound waves. The speed of sound is, you know, 6 to 7 miles in 30 seconds. We'll see a flash, you know, of lightning, and you kind of start counting. That's kind of the old old rule of thumb.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Yeah. If you get to 10, then generally, you know, the thought was, and I have to emphasize was, that the thunderstorm was far enough away. We kind of got rid of that because lightning can strike 10 to 15 miles away from where the thunderstorm is. Well, if you're kind of basing it on kind of the 30-second rule, so you kind of count to five, then the thunderstorm is perhaps closer, you know, within 6 to 7 miles. And so we don't really encourage basing any kind of decision on counting how many seconds it is between the time you see a lightning flash and the time you hear thunder. Whether or not you actually see the lightning or not, it's the thunder that matters. And so if you're hearing rumbles of thunder, that's your sign. That's when you start to seek shelter immediately. Do not delay when you hear thunder. You know, if you're camping, you're planning hikes and stuff, I mean, the first thing I tell my own family, as well as anyone that will listen, is that plan ahead. Most often, thunderstorms will occur in the afternoon or evening. So it's probably not the best time to start out on a hike at, you know, after lunch. That's going to put you in areas that are going to be susceptible to thunderstorms, you know, at 2, 3 in the afternoon. That's just not wise planning. So a lot of mitigating the risk in the outdoors is simply planning ahead. Plan early in the day for those types of hikes. Don't be out on the lake, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and certainly not in the middle of the afternoon when there's towering thunderheads in the vicinity. It's just a recipe for danger, you know, getting caught. And if it's not lightning, you know, it can be any other, you know, hazards from a thunderstorm, to include wind. Strong winds from thunderstorms can emanate miles away from where the thunderstorm impact is. Lightning is certainly the number one hazard to be concerned about, but there are certainly others.
Are folks safe if they go inside their tent, or if a thunderstorm strikes in the middle of the night and they're in a tent? Is that a safe place to be?
It's not safe, Katie, but I will say I've been exactly in that position. Of course, when you're in a tent, I mean, you have like a thin nylon separating you from the outside, so it's not going to protect you. But given everything else, what are the options? Let's say that you're camped at a lake and there is a sturdy shelter, right, that's available, whether it's a restroom, something that's designated as a storm shelter. So if you make a decision to leave your tent and kind of make a run for that shelter, are you passing very tall trees? Are you going across maybe some low water areas that could be flooded? So you have to assess, are you better just staying put? Or, you know, are you close enough, say 50 yards away, that you can get to the shelter in time and not put yourself in additional danger? So those are always tough decisions. And I think before, again, I would come back to the planning piece. If you're at a lake and you are in a tent situation, you should be thinking ahead, saying, okay, if we do have a thunderstorm at 2 in the morning, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do, instead of having to make those decisions in the middle of the event. There's also scenarios, unfortunately, where, you know, lightning can strike a nearby tree, for example, and sometimes bark can be projectiles. You know, it might not be the actual lightning strike, but it could be something kind of indirectly related that could impact you as well. As I said, I think having those conversations and having a plan before we get into those situations really plays a huge role.
When we get rainstorms, places that seem like beautiful little canyons can turn into torrential rivers in a matter of seconds, even when the thunderstorm isn't in the area that you think you're in. It might not be raining on you in that little canyon, and yet this wall of water could come down from the mountains. What tips do you have about sudden flash floods?
The best thing, and I think what you're going to hear, especially if you're outdoors camping, is move to higher ground. And that may seem on its face kind of like, well, one of those common sense measures, but it does and will save your life, literally. There are cases where if you are in these areas where the water starts to rise rapidly, or you are in a very precarious situation, the best thing to do is just to get to higher ground. And whatever that means, literally stopping what you're doing and literally scurrying to higher ground.
Carrie Jones is a meteorologist and knows a lot about the weather, and yet still goes camping because it's so fun. Carrie Jones, thank you so much for being with us again on the Children's Hour. We learn a lot from you every time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Katie. It's always a pleasure.
Boom, rattle, and a crack, crack, crack. Exciting. Sometimes when it's loud, it gets a little bit frightening. My dog gets a wind by, jumps under the bed. He's down there hiding with his paws on his head.
Thunder and Lightning is Rhesus Monkey from a release called Hot Air. And you are listening to the Children's Hour in the background. This is the Django Festival All-Stars. We've posted a lot of links and other information to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Camping with Kids. I hope you find yourself camping or backpacking or hiking or even just going for a walk today. It's such a beautiful day, no matter the weather. We're going to go out with one more, one of our favorites. This is Israel Kamakawu-Ule, right here on the Children's Hour. We'll catch you next time.
Ooh. Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Sarah Gabrielli, Faniel Lentz, and Isaac Lacerda. You can find a full playlist, links, pictures, and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Camping with Kids.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.